Well, good morning. I'm glad you're all here this morning. A few years ago, I wanted to try to get back into shape, so I bought myself a Bowflex. And, man, I got that thing. It came in a big box, and I put it together at home. And, you know, I felt manlier just looking at it, right? I felt stronger just because the box arrived and I put that thing together. It just felt good, right? It felt amazing. And I used it for a couple of years and really enjoyed it, and then slowly and surely less and less, and all of a sudden just noticed that it was kind of something that we stacked things on at home. Have you ever been there? Yeah, I sold the Bowflex about a year ago or so, and probably lost a few hundred dollars on it. And it's not the first piece of exercise equipment that I've lost money on, and you could probably attest to the same thing as well, right? Because if we have something, it's important for us not to just have it, but to use it. Because if we don't use it, if we don't apply it, then it really doesn't help at all. We're in the midst of this message series called Life Apps. And remember, we talked about James, the brother of Jesus, who said, don't just listen to God's word, actually do what it says. He's talking about not just being there or feeling like it's having an impact in your life, but actually applying it, doing it in your life. And, you know, we all want to change and we all want to grow to be more like Christ in our life, but we kind of fall short along the way because we don't apply the things that we hear, the things that we are learning about. So application is actually doing what the Bible teaches, and that's what helps us to grow in our faith. Today I'm going to talk about trust. How can we apply trust in our relationships? We make thousands of choices every day, and every one of those choices has a certain amount of trust in it. Sometimes we realize it, sometimes we think about it, and sometimes we really don't. Trust plays a big role in your choice of who your doctor is, who your chiropractor is, who your dentist is, who your counselor is, or maybe even your financial advisor. Trust is important. When things in your life are important, the person you choose is also important. We also use trust when we utilize different businesses. Think about this. Even going to a restaurant, you exercise some sort of trust, don't you? You're trusting that the food is going to be good, that the atmosphere is going to be enjoyable, that the service is going to be good, that the food is affordable, it fits into your budget, right? You're trusting that place with your dollars. You know, life can be the same way. Trust is a hard thing to apply, especially in relationships with the people that matter the most to us. And there's two things that really make trust a hard thing to do. And that is the way that you see other people misuse trust and abuse their relationships. The other thing is this. Maybe you've had a personal experience. You've had a bad experience with a boss, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor who has let you down, and you've lost trust in that person. Both of those can have a negative influence on our ability to trust other people. So if we want to have a healthy relationship with the people that are the most important to us, then trust is an important thing that we need to work on in our relationships. Let me illustrate through a principle that applies in all relationships. You see, in every relationship, there are expectations and there are experiences. There are expectations, things that we agree to expect from each other, and then there are experiences, the things that actually take place. This is what you said you would do. This is what you actually did. And sometimes, I don't know if you notice this or not, but sometimes there's a big gap in between those two things, between our expectations and our experiences. You said that you would be home at 10 o'clock, and I heard the garage door open at midnight. Okay? You said the expectation was that you'd be home at 10 o'clock, but my experience was that I heard the garage door open at midnight. There's a gap. And when that happens, trust begins to erode. The more that trust begins to erode, the bigger the gap gets. The bigger the gap gets, the weaker your trust is. And the weaker your trust is, the weaker your relationship is with that person. So if you want to have a good, healthy relationship with someone who is important to you, it would probably be best to say, how can we work on a relationship where we can lessen that gap? How can we work on the things that we do so that we minimize that gap, so that the expectations that we have match our experience? And the better you're able to do that, the deeper and more intimate, more loving, more trusting your relationship is. Now, as believers, as Christians who desire to follow and obey Jesus, we're called to stretch, to bend, and to learn how to trust other people. You see, part of the problem is that we're sinful people, right? We can't live a perfect expectation and experience kind of life. Since we're sinful and broken and we live in a broken and a fallen world, there's going to be a gap. And since we are believers, people who have invested our faith and trust in Jesus, He calls us to work on that gap on a continual basis. Matter of fact, in Romans 12, Paul puts it this way: live in harmony with each other. Harmony happens when there's a level of trust. But trust in relationships doesn't just happen on its own. Just kind of like my Bowflex, okay? Just having it in my living room didn't make me healthy, okay? Same thing with trust. It doesn't happen all by itself. It takes work. There's things that we actually have to do and apply on a continual basis that help to build and maintain trust. Let me read for you from 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. If you don't have your Bible with this morning, you can follow along on the screen. Listen to what John says. He says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another." Why? Because love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not really know God, for God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He lives in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. We are called to love one another because God first loved us. And He proved His love to us by coming here and giving His life on the cross, for dying on the cross, shedding His blood, taking a beating for us, and rising again to provide us with life. John says if we love God and we have a relationship with Him through Jesus, then His love lives in us, and we prove that love by showing love to other people. It's really hard to love people if you can't trust them, isn't it? Trust is important. Not that we can't love people that we don't trust. The Bible calls us to do that. But as we build trust in each other, our love grows. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. This morning I want to share four ways that you can build or rebuild trust. Here's the first one. We can build or rebuild trust through humble compromise. Humble compromise. In verses 10 and 11, it says that Jesus loved us and He sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. To compromise means to settle your differences through mutual concession. Jesus humbly compromised by sacrificing His life for us. When did He do that? When you absolutely did not trust Him one bit. The Bible says while we were still enemies, while we were still rebellious, while we still didn't want to have anything to do with God, when we didn't trust God one bit, He humbled Himself and He came here and died on the cross. Philippians 2:3-5 says, "In humility, consider other people better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." While we were still enemies, Jesus took the first step. He humbled Himself and said, "I'm going to work on this relationship. I'm going to sacrifice myself and take the first step to try to rebuild that relationship with my people so that hopefully someday we can build this trust and they can trust in me." Jesus gives us the benefit of the doubt. Even when the gap between our expectations or His expectations and what He experienced in our relationship, even when that gap was overwhelming, Jesus bridged the gap with the cross. He gave His life. He took the first step. See, when there's a gap in your relationship, when there's a huge difference between your expectations and your experience, when you don't know all of the details, when you don't know all of the facts, you have a choice to make. The negative reaction would be to assume the worst. The positive reaction would be to believe the best. But the bottom line is, you have to choose. When there's a gap in that relationship, it's up to you to humble yourself, to make the compromise, to take the first step. Here's a tip for you. In healthy relationships, both parties do everything in their power to believe the best about each other. Love gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. It looks for the most generous explanation for their behavior. It chooses to trust over suspicion. Again, before you know all the facts, before you know all the details and why the experience didn't match the expectation, you have to choose to trust. And not only that, in Ephesians 4, verse 2, it says, "Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love." See, love is humble. Love is gentle. It's patient. It bears with one another. It makes allowance for faults and for mistakes. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, "Well, Pastor Doug, you really don't understand what they did to me. This person has done incredible things to damage our relationship, and I just can't find it in myself to trust them." Look, I'm not asking you to be irrational here, okay? If for example, if you've been burned by somebody because you gave them some money and they never paid you back, and they came to you and they said, "Hey, can I have a loan? Can you loan me $50,000? Probably wouldn't be a good idea to loan them more money. So I'm not asking you to take a huge step to trust them. What I'm asking you to do is to humble yourself and take a small, tiny step to begin the process, to begin to rebuild that trust. Jesus said this way, "Do unto others as you would have them do to you." It's the golden rule, right? I know when I make mistakes, when I've broken the trust of the people that I love, I want to try to take that first step. I want a second chance to be trusted in the relationship. So we need to give each other the benefit of the doubt. There's risk in every relationship. And what the Bible calls us to do is to take a risk. A small, tiny step to try to begin that process of restoring the relationship. Because that's what Jesus did for us. And that's what he expects from us. So trust needs to be, we need to take a first step in building and restoring trust. And in order to do that, we need to humble ourselves and compromise. But trust also needs to be earned. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that right now. The second way to build or rebuild trust is through honest communication. Honest communication. If you want to build trust, you've got to communicate with each other honestly. You've got to tell the truth. Right? One of the big Ten Commandments is not to bear false witness, not to say negative things about someone else, not to lie. The Bible talks about lying all the time because God knows that lies are told in the absence of trust. And in that mistrust, it breaks our relationship. It's funny, in the movie Mission Impossible 2, Tom Cruise is a secret agent, and he's working with other secret agents, and there seems to be all kinds of secrets going on, and everybody's kind of hiding things from each other, and no one can trust anyone in the movie. It's like, man, how do you know who to trust and who not to trust? Some of us are operating in our relationships the same way, whether it's at work with our boss, at home with our marriage, with our friends, coworkers. We have a secret agent kind of relationship. See, the truth of the matter is this. If we spent as much time and energy on communicating and building our relationship as we do trying to hide the truth, we might actually build a healthy relationship. So we spend all kinds of time. Once you start lying, it builds up and you can't remember what you said and you got to hide things and try to be secret. And you spend all kinds of time and effort into this secret thing that's going on in your life. If we spent the same amount of time building relationships, we wouldn't fall into that trap and break our trust. Here's a tip for you. If we can't choose to trust, if the trust has been broken, and we're having a hard time choosing to trust, we must choose to confront. See, part of our problem is we don't confront. We gossip. We complain about people behind their back. And all that does is continue to create a bigger gap or pile stuff on the gap so it gets worse and worse. Here's a few helpful hints on how we can confront people to build trust. Number one, be loving. Ephesians 4:15 says to speak the truth in a loving way. That means when you need to speak the truth to someone, you find the right time, the right place, and the right words to share this issue, this problem, in a loving way. See, so many times when we want to confront someone, we want to do it in a way where we send a missile, right? We're going to just shoot a missile over the bow and see what happens, right? It's more of a retaliation thing. What the Bible is teaching us is if we want to confront, we should do it in a loving way. Another way is to be clear. Communication experts tell us that when we're communicating, communication has to go through at least 6 different levels or 6 different layers. Now, my wife Nancy would probably say that there's probably in me 6 layers of bedrock that she has to go through before I'll listen and really understand, right? Can you all relate to that, right? Listening is not an easy thing to do. And communicating is not an easy thing to do. And so when we take the time out to communicate together, we must work at doing it in a way that is clear. We talked about this a few months ago in the message series on marriage that we did. A couple of helpful hints there is when you're communicating with each other, express yourself in a way that could be understood and listen closely with the intention of understanding. Ask clarifying questions. Is this what I hear you say? Take the time to summarize what they said back to them. When we take time to communicate clearly, it'll help us build trust. And then the last way is to be risky. Take the risk. See, a lot of times when we need to confront someone and share some honest truth with them, fear overtakes us. I don't know if you heard when we read this morning in 1 John, it says perfect love drives out fear. When your intention is love, when you want to love that other person, it ought to drive away that fear and help you to confront. So it is risky, but it's worth the risk. Proverbs 24, verse 26 says this, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. I like that verse because it reminds me that honesty and intimacy go together. When you communicate clearly and honestly with someone, it deepens your relationship with that person. So choose to communicate honestly. When we choose not to communicate honestly, we choose to walk away, or we choose to continue to live with the gap, not trusting in someone. We're actually rejecting them, damaging the relationship, and worst of all, we're not really honoring God in the process. So again, you choose how you're going to react when the gap appears. The most powerful thing you can say to someone is, I want to really trust you. Let's work at closing that gap, doing whatever it takes to restore, heal, and to grow our relationship through trust. Here's the third way that we build or rebuild trust, through honorable character. You see, if you really want to build trust, you've got to earn it. You have to prove that you can be trusted, and that starts with making small steps in your behavior or your character. Young people, this is really, really important for you and your relationship with your parents. If you want your parents to trust you, this is a big thing, right? Mom and Dad, I want to do this. Why can't you trust me? Why can't you let me go? Why can't you do this? Well, you have to earn it. And part of the way you earn it is by taking small steps, by being obedient and doing the things that they've asked you to do, and to have your experience match the expectations. So your parents are sharing expectations with you, and the more that their experience of you in that situation matches their expectations, the more their trust with you will grow. Okay, that's how it works. It's a biblical thing. Look, Luke 16, verse 10 says it this way. Unless you're faithful with small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. If you cheat even a little and you won't be honest, if you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. So as parents, what we're trying to do is we're trying to help you to grow. And if you can't be honest and faithful in the small things that we ask you to do, it's really hard to allow you to do and have greater responsibility. If you're not faithful in the little things, you're not going to be faithful in greater things. Trust is built when we begin to see character and changes in your life. Being honest when no one is looking. Being kind without expecting a pat on the back. And following through with those small expectations. It takes time and it takes detail to rebuild trust. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. You want other people to trust you? Prove it by being faithful in the small things. See, one of the hardest things that we have to do in the midst of a broken relationship is to focus on our own character. See, we fall into that sinful nature mode where we try to blame the other person. We try to focus on what they need to fix, right? And a lot of times when I meet with people and I'm trying to reconcile some relationships, most people will say, well, they need to do this and they need to change this. And realistically, if you want to take that first step, if you want to begin to trust in a relationship, you need to own part of it and begin to change your character. 1 John 4, the verse 16 that we read, it says, we know how much God loves us. We put our trust in Him. God is love, and all who live in love, live in God, and God lives in them. If we have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, it will overflow into our other relationships. This is why we need to focus on our character. And the best thing that you can do, the first thing you should do, is focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because once you develop that loving relationship with Christ, you begin to know God more. You begin to experience what true love is all about. And it begins to change and transform you and overflow out of your life into your relationships with other people. So it starts with you. Trust is built or rebuilt through honorable character. Here's the fourth way to build or rebuild trust. It's through heroic commitment. Heroic commitment. Right now, some of you are saying, you know what, the pain is too great. I don't really want to reconcile this relationship. I don't want to do the work. It's scary. I'm scared to death, and I'm not really sure it's worth it. It just seems a lot easier to scrap it all together and to start over with someone else. See, I say heroic commitment, because to make a commitment in restoring trust in a broken relationship is being like Jesus, the ultimate hero, the one who sacrificed his life to restore our relationship. And he calls us to do the same thing. See, a heroic commitment is one that desires to do the right thing no matter how long it takes. A heroic commitment is being in it for the long haul. One that doesn't give up but perseveres through it. Because it's worth it. Jesus would say it was worth going to the cross for you. And as difficult as it is for us to try to restore and rebuild trust in a relationship, it is heroic when we just go out and do it and work at it. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says this in the NIV, "Love always protects, always trusts." Love always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Again, the word love, it's talking about God's love for us. See, when we read that, a lot of times we're thinking about how we're supposed to love others, but it's actually talking about how God's love for us always perseveres. It always hopes. It always trusts. It's when we understand and fill ourselves with that love of God and transforms our relationships that we're allowed to go and have an impact in the life of other people by loving. Heroic commitment is loving others like Jesus loves us. In verse 17 it says, "As we live in God, our love grows more perfect." Did you notice that it says, "As we live in God"? It's not some magical formula that, hey, I've expressed faith and trust in Jesus Christ, so automatically loving other people ought to be just really easy. Loving Jesus ought to be really easy. No, it says, as we live in God, each and every day when we make the step, when we make the commitment, when we make the choice to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our love grows more perfect. I really believe that when you take the risk and make the effort to rebuild trust in a broken relationship, you become a hero in God's eyes. So here's my question for you this morning. What person popped into your mind? As we were going through this message this morning, whose little picture popped up in your brain? Chances are that the Spirit, God's Spirit this morning, is laying that person on your heart because maybe there's some trust issues going on. Something that you need to work through. Are you willing to close the gap and begin rebuilding that trust? It's time for us to exercise some humility and compromise. To begin communicating honestly. To begin working on our character so it's honorable and godly. And to make a heroic commitment to build trust in our relationships. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that while we were still enemies of the cross, while we were still rebellious against you, while we could still care less about you, you loved us enough to leave heaven and come down to earth and to sacrifice your life and to rise again to provide us with new life. Lord, we thank you for your suffering on the cross that provides us with forgiveness of sins. But we also thank you for the resurrection that provides us with new life. Lord, give us a desire to want to live in you so that you live in us and that your love overwhelms us and overflows through us into our relationships. God, we want to build trust. We want to have healthy relationships because you died to restore our relationship with God and our relationship with others. It was important for you. It ought to be important for us. And so we ask that you would change our hearts, transform our minds, help us to begin to work at restoring our relationship with you and with others. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.